You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
From the number one sports site in the world.
Big names.
Bold interviews.
Beyond the X's and O's.
Welcome to the fastest 2 hours in radio.
On Yahoo Sports Radio.
And yahoosportsradio.com.
This is the Big E Sports Show.
With the one and only, the triple threat, the Big E.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell. The 6 foot former Sooner women's basketball player.
She can post, pin, and produce with some of today and yesterday's biggest stars.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell delivers sports the way you want it. Get ready to go beyond the X's and O's
with today's star athletes, coaches, and sports figures.
This is the Big E Sports Show
right now.
Now from the Quicken Loans studios of Yahoo Sports Radio.
Are you ready?
Quicken Loans, engineered to amaze.
Here she is, the one and only, the Big E, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back to hour number two at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Time now in our next segment for some NBA news and notes, and it has been, I tell you what, it's been a big week in the NBA. Nothing but net. The 2016 NBA All-Star Weekend, it is in the books. It was certainly memorable. We're definitely going to highlight that in our next segment. Also, just some of the moves that have taken place with the trade deadline. So much to get into with our next guest, who is joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. Of course, we are inside the Quicken Loans studios, and that is NBA TV's Matt Weiner. He is everywhere, always has the best seat in the house with some of today and yesterday's NBA greats, coaches and players. And be sure and check him out on Beyond the Paint, the monthly magazine-style show hosted by Matt Weiner on NBA TV. It's your first time on the program. Salutations from all of us down here in Houston. How are you, Matt?
So far, so good. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we're excited to catch up with you, and let's start off our conversation with a quick recap of the NBA All-Star Weekend. Your takeaways from this epic time in Toronto, because it really was awesome.
Well, first of all, the feeling in my extremities is just now coming back.
You're defrosting, yeah.
It was cold. Uh-huh. Now, having said that, Toronto's a great host for the All-Star Weekend. They really do have great NBA fans up there. It's a fantastic cosmopolitan city. It was just cold. That's all. And as the commissioner likes to point out, basketball's an indoor sport, so it wasn't that big a deal, but you couldn't help but notice it anytime you stepped outside. Then again, the same thing was true last year in New York. Secondly, All-Star Saturday night was the best it's been in years and years and years. The shootout was fantastic. The skills competition was fun.
Yeah.
And the dunk contest was as good as it's been, I don't even know how long back, you know, maybe 15 years back. Just fantastic. I kind of wish they'd ended in a tie and set up the natural rematch for next year. We may get that anyway, but just good stuff all around.
Hey, Matt Weiner from NBA TV is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio. The Big E Sports Show, we are interactive, and we would love to hear from you. Join us at Twitter, at eRadioSports. You can always email the show at Alyssa@yahoosportsradio.com. And Matt, you're spot on, because obviously all eyes were on that dunk contest. And I agree with you. I think it should have been a tie.
Yeah, you know, I'm told that was suggested as it got late in the competition, and the guys were just sort of making up dunks, which is a remarkable thing in and of itself. Levine said the last one he did, he'd never done before. Usually they practice all these, you know. They have a certain number in the quiver, so to speak, that they can pull out. And the NBA just, they didn't know what to do with it because they hadn't had this before. And there was no real mechanism in place to make it a tie, so they played it out. But, you know, which is fine. it was great as it was. Gordon did the best dunk of the night, I think, but it was 50 versus 50 versus 50 versus 50, and so there was no winner until there was until Levine's was clearly better in that final round.
Yeah. Hey, the Minnesota Timberwolves, they certainly were represented well at the NBA All-Star Weekend. I thought, Matt, what was really cool was Zach LaVine, how you know, he dedicated that slam dunk contest win to the great and the late Flip Saunders.
Yes, yeah, and it's, you know, this late in the season, I think if you're not in Minnesota, it's easy to forget how their season began with Flip, first of all, taking hiatus and then passing away. You know, fairly quickly the illness overtook him. And that's a lot to go through. And think of a young player like Andrew Wiggins, who was drafted number one overall the year before. He had to wait, what, 6 weeks until he was traded from Cleveland to Minnesota. Wins rookie of the year. His coach gets sick. His coach passes away. He's got another number one overall pick in his teammate, Karl-Anthony Towns. I mean, this is not a usual start to an NBA career. And these guys, you know, at age 20, their top three scorers are all age 20. They've been through so much already. There's a lot to like about that team, but I think it's important to occasionally take some time and think about what they've gone through as young pros in this league.
You're listening to the voice of NBA TV's Matt Weiner is joining us tonight right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are recapping the 2016 NBA All-Star Weekend. It was definitely historic. The energy of the city, I think, definitely came through. But I wanted to get your thoughts, Matt, on the final All-Star appearance of Kobe Bryant. What was your impressions?
Well, I mean, forget what happened on the floor. I mean, there were some fun moments where he, you know, went one-on-one with his old teammate Pau Gasol and with LeBron James and a couple other guys. The whole weekend was really a dedication to Kobe and his 20-year career. Having him speak before the game was cool. He seems to have turned a corner in terms of letting people in a little bit on who he is and his thoughts. He was so guarded for most of his career. That's kind of a fun thing for him to let the guard down, and you can see that he's let go a little bit. You know, he's still competitive, obviously, yeah, in the moment, but he knows the end is near, and I think he's enjoying it without overdoing it, but I think he's enjoying it a little bit, and that's been refreshing. And the entire weekend was really just, it was guys paying tribute to Kobe. And you have to remember, so many of the young all-stars in the league right now grew up thinking Kobe Bryant was the best player they had ever seen. And for them, for guys like Paul George, who has spoken openly about idolizing Kobe as a kid, this is a big deal to see him out and be on the floor with him in his final All-Star game. I think you saw a lot of that, and it was just a cool thing for the league and a cool way for him to wrap up his All-Star career, that he's healthy right now and he could be out there on the floor and have some fun with it.
What an incredible career. What a legacy. But, Matt, do you ever think about what would have happened if perhaps Kobe and Shaquille, if they would have stayed together?
Well, I think they do. I think they do, and I know they do, because Shaq has talked about it on our air. You know, if they could have gotten along a little bit, if they'd been more mature, yeah, absolutely. They think about what might have been. We did a piece on Gary Vitti, the longtime Lakers trainer, earlier in the season, and talked to him about the feud, and he, you know, confirmed what everyone has said. It was absolutely a real thing. And it was disruptive to the entire organization because you just didn't know on a day-to-day basis how it might manifest itself. And you know, and he was sort of the go-between for the two of them for a while because they would both confide in him. And it was an untenable situation. And had they been a little more mature, you know, maybe they pick up another ring or two. But, you know, we'll never know, I guess.
NBA TV's Matt Weiner with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Let's move ahead, Matt. Let's get your thoughts on what we can expect in what this final 30 games, the second half of the season, I suppose. Who's going to be the biggest threat to the Warriors? We're talking Spurs, Cleveland, Oklahoma City. Who's the biggest threat?
Well, there are a couple different things. First of all, the biggest threat to their pursuit of history, which they have embraced, which I think is great, that they've said, hey, we're here, we might as well try to beat the Bulls record from 95-96. They need to go 25-5 to do that. So I think the biggest threat to that is injury. If they can stay healthy, I really think they're going to do it. Injury is the one factor. The other factor would be rest. One thing that wasn't as prevalent when the Bulls were winning 72 games 20 years ago is teams didn't rest players strategically the way they do now. the Warriors might do that, knowing that they've wrapped up the number one seed if they've done so late in the season. Could that cost them enough games to mess up the record? I don't know. We'll find out. The other factor is, do they need to rest because they've had enough rest in fourth quarters from blowing teams out, which they've done a lot. But to the bigger question in terms of threats, I still think the Spurs are their biggest threat. I picked the Spurs to win the West at the beginning of the season, not realizing that somehow the Warriors would have gotten better, which seemed unlikely at the time. And I don't put too much stock into that first meeting when the Spurs were blown out in Oakland. Greg Popovich will learn from that. They didn't have Tim Duncan in that game, and I know Tim's older and he doesn't play the minutes, but he defensively, he is still a disruptive force, one of the best in the game, not only historically, but he's still one of the best in the game currently, and the numbers bear that out. Their defensive rating is better with him on the floor. His personal defensive rating is fantastic. So three more meetings between them. I'll be interested to see what happens there. But over a seven-game series, there's no one in the league better at making adjustments and tweaking things than Greg Popovich. So I would say San Antonio for sure.
The NBA conversation continues with NBA TV's Matt Weiner after this quick timeout.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
The Big E.
Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, hour number two. Our show continues with Matt Weiner of NBA TV. When you look at Golden State's schedule, I mean, it's favorable. It plays into their hands.
Yeah.
17 of their final 30 games. Matt, they're at home.
Yeah, they've got this road stretch coming out of the break. Really began right before the break. And then you're right, a bunch of home games. I realized a couple of weeks ago, because people ask me this all the time, are they going to beat the Bulls record? And as of a couple of weeks ago, it dawned on me, I think they are. I don't see anyone who has solved that puzzle, particularly in the regular season. Now, things change in the postseason when you can scout a team to death and, you know, try to take things away from them. But in the regular season, running up against that buzzsaw, so many teams find themselves down 15 or 20 before the end of the first quarter, and it's essentially over. They're scrambling to try to get back in the game. So I think they're going to do it.
Hey, NBA TV's Matt Weiner is with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're shining the spotlight on the Golden State Warriors right now. And I got to ask you this, Matt. I mean, you watch them a lot. How much better are they than 1 year ago? And I think what's hard to believe is, I mean, they missed, what, half their season with their head coach.
The whole thing is remarkable. They had the short summer. Steph Curry and his wife had another baby. He's in every other commercial now. He had to take some time to do that and somehow came back a better player. I don't know how that works exactly. It speaks to his work ethic and his, you know, his dedication to the craft. But they are better. You know, Draymond Green is that much better a player now. They're healthy again for the most part. But even when they've had injuries, it hasn't mattered. Harrison Barnes missed significant time, and he's a factor as a rotation player. Festus Ezeli is out right now. None of it seems to matter, and that's what I was saying. As long as the core guys are there, their three All-Stars in particular, I think they are a little better than last year. And people were surprised last year because they made the huge leap from a six seed in the West to where they were, and now it's just continuity. And I think as they continue on, it's repetitions, and they just get better and better and better. And this is a fairly young team, so it's not like you're worried about them getting creaky anytime soon.
What do you think is the key, though, to beating Golden State? Where are they vulnerable?
Not many places. The one area that I keep going back to, and I feel like the Spurs can maybe use to their advantage, is size across the board. Draymond Green playing center last year for the first time in his career since high school, he told us. That, you know, that normally would set up for a mismatch on the other end of the floor, and I felt like the Cavaliers made a mistake in getting away from Mozgov. Not that Timofey Mozgov is a star, but he is 7 feet tall, and if you're going to throw out a guy who's 6'7", maybe, as your center, then you've got to try to take advantage of that matchup. I thought that was a mistake on the Cavs' part last year. Now, that doesn't mean it works, but the Cavaliers do have good size across the board. The Spurs have good sides across the board, and I feel like that's one area where they could take advantage. And the other thing is you just can't let Steph get going. It's easier said than done, but I've seen so many guys this year who let him get away from them somehow, and he winds up with a wide-open three-pointer. Now, if you're going to give up a layup in order to prevent that from happening, then do that. It just makes perfect sense not to let him get going the way he does on a nightly basis. Again, easier said than done, but that's obviously key number one.
Well, the Spurs, they have size, but I'm thinking about the fresh legs of Golden State. You're talking about they are a younger team. I mean, Can the Spurs match that type of athleticism?
Well, it doesn't matter so much in the playoffs because you don't have the back-to-backs. The schedule is a little friendlier for that. The fact that as the season has gone on, LaMarcus Aldridge has become more a part of the offense. I think that's an important thing. They won't rely on touches for Tim Duncan, for instance, until late in the game. He's not going to play the same number of minutes. They don't need Tony Parker to penetrate on every single possession. They rely more on guys like Patty Mills coming off the bench, who's really come into his own. So I don't know that that's a huge issue. The Warriors do play really fast. The Spurs play fairly slow at this stage in terms of pace of play. So that kind of mitigates what the Warriors will do. And that's one of the mistakes I felt like they made unintentionally. It wasn't a strategic thing in their first meeting. It was really the first time this season I saw the Spurs get sped up in a way in which they lost poise and started throwing the ball around a little bit and making turnovers that they don't normally make. I think with repetition against the Warriors this year, I think they would approach that a little differently. And I would still give them a chance, certainly, in a playoff series. And it's one that, I think most NBA fans would love to see because they've clearly been the two best teams.
About another minute with Matt Weiner from NBA TV tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And Matt, for just a moment, I want to digress and flip the calendar back. I think back to the summer of 2015, this past summer, you hosted the show Open Court, and you had an amazing interview with so many of coaching's greats, Alvin Gentry, David Blatt, Kevin McHale, Rick Carlisle, George Karl, and Lionel Hollins. And you talk about just the uncertainty and volatility as a coach. I mean, job security is a thing of the past. Would you have ever thought that so many of those coaches would be unemployed at this point in the season, Matt?
Yeah, we may have a tough time booking the next show next summer because half of them were fired.
I know.
And we're still, just past the All-Star break now. We may not want to mention that who was on the show last year when we're making calls to see who can join us for the 2016 version of that. That's what coaching is now, and I don't always understand it. I give the teams the benefit of the doubt because they know things about what's going on internally that we don't, but there are certainly some head-scratchers there. Kevin McHale, for instance, getting to the Western Conference Finals, and then you 11 games into the next season, they decide that it's not working. I don't understand that, and again, I'm not privy to what happens in practice or in the locker room, but that just didn't make any sense to me at all. A couple of those teams, the Brooklyn Nets with Lionel Hollins, clearly they're trying to reset altogether. If he wasn't in their long-term plans, it's probably more fair to him just to move on, although I'm sure he would disagree with that assessment. And David Blatt, again, the standard is so high. If you've reached the finals and you aspire to get back there again and take the next step, which would be winning a championship, and you feel like it's just not quite right, then there's an argument to be made to make a change, but it's a tough standard. And that's where the profession is right now, I guess.
My final question for you is, I know throughout the years, Matt, you've hosted a number of programs. What was it like being in that room? I mean, what an awesome conversation. There were so many takeaways.
Yeah, really cool. Great stories. And that was purposely when we formatted the show. We wanted to have a segment with the coaches' best basketball stories. They're not all fit for air, so they had to, edit themselves. But great stories there, and then great stories that cropped up along the way. They also had great insights on the smartest players they've ever coached for or against. It was really, really fascinating to pick their brains for that time. And we did that over the course of, I'm going to guess, about 2 hours or so. And so you really, because of the limitations of an hour-long show, you really only got to see a fraction of what they had to say. There was really some fascinating stuff.
Well, it's been fascinating visiting with Matt Weiner of NBA TV. Thank you. First time on the program, Matt, and we look forward to our next conversation. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Much more straight ahead tonight, right here on YSR, the Big E Sports Show. You stay close.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
The Big E.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell, I want to welcome you back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We always love to connect with you on Friday night, so join us at Twitter at eRadio Sports. And as a reminder, our listeners, all of you, you guys challenged us for a better mobile app, and we have responded with the all-new Yahoo Sports Radio app, available now for your iOS or Android device. Just search Yahoo Sports Radio in Google Play or the App Store and download the new app from Gao Media. You can stream us live on the go or listen to the podcast at your convenience, all from one app. So perhaps you don't have an iOS or Android device. No worries. You can listen on most smart devices by going to streamysr.com. Internet connection is required and normal data rates apply. Well, right now, as promised, it is time for some MLB news and notes. The countdown is on to the beginning of spring training 2016. Hard to believe, and good to have back with us in the saddle, of course, is our very own from YSR. That is Andy Pondillo. Good evening, Andy.
Well, it's time to get underway for pitchers and catchers. The game's a few weeks away, so it's a lot of fun right now.
Oh, it is. The weather, it's even warming up down here in Houston. And so let's start things off with the guys in our backyard. That, of course, is the Houston Astros, the AL West. I'll tell you what, you start paying attention, Andy, to some of these national networks and national entities. I mean, some are projecting that the Astros are going to win 90 games this year. Do you believe it?
I definitely believe it. This team's got probably the most complete team in the entire division. There are some uncertainties, and that's going to go with the offense, the feast or famine offense that we talked about a lot last year. It only took one injury of George Springer to see this offense go from top tier to mid tier to bottom tier in a matter of about a month and a half. Then they were able to manifest, come back up, and be, you know, they were in the top half of offenses when it comes to the American League when everything was said and done. But it was kind of done on a gimmick with those home runs. So the challenge for them is to be more of a complete offense. They're always going to have their shortcomings. They're going to strike out a lot. They're going to have times where they just look like they can't hit a soft-throwing pitcher for some reason. And that's fine as long as it's not something that lingers on and on and on. So a guy like George Springer, a guy like Carlos Gomez, keeping these guys healthy, stealing bases, hitting for power, making plays in the outfield, having those athletes in your lineup that change the game will be key for the Astros in 2016.
Well, the Houston Astros, they're getting plenty of attention, and you can understand why. You just think back, Andy, 2014, 70-92, last year, 86-76, so no surprise if they do hit that mark of 90 wins. And I just like the approach that they have taken in the offseason, the acquisition of their closer, Ken Giles. That is going to be huge. You've got to have that kind of depth in your bullpen.
Yeah, they needed it, and that's something that a lot of people talked about in the offseason. A lot of people were upset at the end of the year when they blew that game versus the Royals, where they really struggled down the stretch to find any consistency in that bullpen. And it's not that this is a bad bullpen. You look at some of the guys on there, they have good resumes. Luke Gregerson, Pat Neshek, these guys, you know, they've logged some innings. They've shown that they can pitch at this level. They just, everyone seemed to hit a wall at once. So you hope that Ken Giles helps that, but even more importantly, it kind of just pushes everyone down a slot. Their responsibilities aren't as much as they were last year. You look at the depth in the pen. You have Tony Sipp, who re-signs with the Astros, who is an excellent left-handed pitcher. Wandy Rodriguez comes in, the former Astro. Probably not going to make the starting rotation, but does he factor into the bullpen? Scott Feldman probably doesn't have a rotation position anymore with the signing of Doug Fister. Is he in the bullpen now? With all this domino effect, you would feel there should be added depth in that pen, and there should be more innings they can get out of these relievers. Hopefully not. Hopefully the starters can get even more innings than they did last year. But if not, you should have a stronger bullpen going into 2016. And Ken Giles, as good as it gets his first 2 years in the big leagues, almost pretty much historical what he was able to do with the Phillies. With a losing team, not a lot of people saw him, but he should get the same type of hype that Aroldis Chapman was getting. He was that good to start his career.
The Houston Astros, Andy, they have so many young stars. Who is that person that they look to for that leadership?
It's an interesting clubhouse. The naysayers will point to the Astros saying they don't have many veterans on this team. And really, the veterans they do have aren't the the mainstream run producers. The run producers in this lineup are guys that are 24, 25 years old. Altuve, Correa, Springer, all these guys are young. You know who the true leader is in this clubhouse? There's two of them, in my opinion. One is your ace, Dallas Keuchel. When you have the best pitcher in the American League last year, this is a guy that you can go out and score one run, you can score two runs. He's going to put the team on his back, and he's going to win this game for you. And then another guy is, oddly enough, is the manager. A.J. Hinch is the perfect guy for this team. When he first got this job with the Astros, he spent time in the offseason to visit each player on his roster, all 25 men, personally, to go figure out what their strengths and weaknesses are, their trigger points, and learn who they are as a person. A.J. Hinch is not just a guy that goes out there and sets a defense, a guy that brings in pinch hitters. He's a guy that knows his team, understands his team, and showed a very good leadership quality as a manager. For him to come in and make a 16-game improvement in his first year, you know, that is absolutely incredible and almost unheard of in Major League Baseball.
Hey, Andy Pondillo with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He'd love to connect with you. Andy, tell the listeners where they can go and check out your amazing podcast.
That's Astro Chat on ESPN975.com.
Okay, so as we talk about the Astros, I'm just curious. I mean, what are these guys doing in the offseason so that when they enter into the season, they try to stay injury-free and that they're fresh?
Well, I don't know what they all do. I know some of them say they throw and some say they run. You know, some of the prospects will play in the Arizona Fall League. You know, I probably don't want to know what they do in the offseason, to be honest. But,
right.
You know, I hope they don't push themselves too much. It's such a long season. You're throwing every day. You're running every day. You know, if any sport has an excuse not to do as much in the offseason, I think it's baseball. When you're playing every single day, you've got to shut the body down for a little bit. I think the biggest thing in the offseason is just don't eat wrong. Make sure you work out at least a little bit. You might come in, you know, 5 or 6 pounds heavier. You'll work that off in spring training. Just don't come back at 30 pounds overweight, because we've seen players do that before, and that will linger into April. So just keep yourself reasonable, I think, is the goal.
Okay, we are shining the spotlight on the AL West right now. So the Astros, what about the Mariners? How do you see them, Matt?
See, I like the Mariners a lot. I think a lot
Tell me why.
See, a lot of people are shy to pick them because they've been the team that a lot of people have thought have been upcoming for a while. But the real problem with the Mariners in recent years hasn't been the fact that they don't have a middle of the order. You got Robinson Cano, Nelson Cruz, Kyle Seager. These guys are going to hit home runs. They're going to drive in runs in the middle of the order. But who is getting on base for them? Nori Aoki goes way under the radar as a signing for the Mariners. I like him at the top of the order. I like them getting Adam Lind to try and solidify the first base issue. And you have King Felix at the top of the rotation. Now, the bullpen, it was good 2 years ago. It was awful last year. Where are they? Are they in between that somewhere? There are questions on this team, but just looking at the lineup, looking at the top of the rotation, Taijuan Walker, does he ever figure it out? A former top prospect. You know, there's some ifs on this team, but I would feel more comfortable predicting the Mariners to compete in this division than I would a team like the Angels, that seems to be trending downward.
And what about the Rangers? It seems like every season that they are just battling so many injuries.
Too many old legs on that team, but yet a lot of talented legs on that team. The middle of the order is strong as always. Shin-Soo Choo at the top is consistent. You bring back Odor, who had a very good year last year. Jerkson Profar, where does he fit in? They do have depth in this lineup. They have great depth in the rotation. And on paper, they could be a very good team, but I think the thing is, most of the pundits, like myself, are very shy to pick them to go deep because they're afraid of who's going to get hurt. And it seems like it's always a guarantee that somebody in this lineup that's significant is going to end up getting hurt. I would pen them to do basically what they did last year, mid-80s wins. But if other teams improve, that may not be good enough to get in postseason play.
Okay, Andy Pondillo with us. Just about another minute right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Give me a quick hit on the AL Central.
AL Central, Royals, and probably nobody else. The Indians, they're a lot like the Mariners, have been that pick that everybody says every year, the Indians are coming, but it just hasn't manifested. I like the Royals' complete team. You know, they don't have that great starting rotation you'd like in a championship team, but a lot of people are undershooting the squad. They play great defense. They all hit 1-9. And then that bullpen, you have a lead after 5-6 innings. This game's over with the Royals. They're a difficult team to play. They're a new-age team, and I like them to easily win the AL Central once again.
Always giving you the best that we've got. That's because Andy Pondillo joins us now each and every week right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show, with our weekly MLB news and notes update. Next week, we're going to get into the AL East, and we look forward to that conversation. Thank you so much, Andy, and have a great weekend.
Sounds good.
Much more straight ahead tonight right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio. Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell, the Big E.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back inside the Quicken Loans studios at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. In our final segment tonight, there is so much to get into when we're talking about college football, but we've got big news with our new mobile app. That's because you guys, all of you listeners out there, challenged us for a better mobile app, and we responded with the all-new Yahoo Sports Radio app, available now for your iOS or Android device. Just search Yahoo Sports Radio in Google Play or the App Store and download the new app from Gal Media. Stream us live on the go or listen to the podcast at your convenience, all from one app. And perhaps you don't have an iOS or an Android device. No worries. You can listen on most smart devices by going to streamysr.com. Internet connection, it is required, and normal data rates apply. Well, as I said, it's time to lace it up. We're going to talk some college basketball. Good to have back with us the CEO of Five Star Basketball Camp, the great Lee Klein. How are you, Lee?
Doing great, Alyssa. Another wacky week of college hoops, and we just sit and laugh and enjoy as so many great storylines are happening as the season is, you know, is rumbling down to a close here.
Lee Klein, I can promise you I was not laughing last Saturday watching that Oklahoma-KU game, and we're going to talk about that here in a moment and break that down. Everyone knows I'm a proud Sooner, but talk to me about North Carolina. They botched its final possession against Duke the other night. They didn't call a timeout.
Well, it was an incredible effort by Duke, and it really, I think, goes to show sort of this contrast that we have. You know, North Carolina that got up to an 8-point lead and then played not to lose the game.
Right.
And tightened up. And Duke, who really, when Matt Jones got injured, it was almost as if, you know what, let's just go out there and ball. Let's just go out there and hoop. And guys stepped up. Luke Kennard was great. And they made big plays. And they took this game from North Carolina. And, when there were so many mishaps with this last possession that Carolina had. You know, Jackson with a bad drive that ended up giving it to Joel Berry, and now Berry trying to make a move, drops his eyes, puts up a shot, you know, a prayer that gets deflected. And this whole time as you have these two guys kind of driving in bad spots, and you know, the coach has got to step in and say, hey, wait a second, we can do better than this, and call timeout.
Hey, Lee Klein, with us a few minutes at YSR, the Big E Sports Show, in our final segment tonight, and talking about North Carolina, Duke. You know, they have a total of 3 timeouts remaining. You think Roy Williams, if he got a mulligan and could do it all over again, you think he'd blow, you know, and say, hey, let's take a TO?
As it's developing and he sees how it's developing, yes. There are those that really believe in sort of the play on, the momentum, let's not let the defense set up. But when it's starting as poorly as that possession did, then timeout would have been the best course of action. I think Coach would have went in that route with it. And they've got a tough close now here. These last 5 games, Carolina's in jeopardy of losing the regular season ACC title.
Well, let's talk about the Oklahoma Sooners. Where do you see them at this point? Because they're not playing their best basketball.
Well, we've always talked about the season's a roller coaster. And this is, when we're talking here and we're approaching the end of the regular season, these last 5 games, it's tough. You know, it's a tough stretch. You're playing usually 5 games in 2 weeks and your legs are shot. And teams like Oklahoma, who are not getting a ton of bench contribution, are putting a lot on their core group, their core starters. And Oklahoma, you know, they're waiting for Dante Buford and Christian James to start providing some spark off the bench. James had a nice stretch in the Kansas game, but again, against, you know, in Lubbock against Tech, too much pressure on the five starters, and they're not hitting the three-point shots, you know, like they hope. 6 for 23 against Tech. Here's a team that had been shooting like 40% for a good part of the year, and legs are tired, and they'll be fine. They'll be just fine. It's not easy, and this is sort of that that dip in a roller coaster that you got to fight on through.
Okay, we talked about the Oklahoma Sooners. Let's go over to Lubbock, Texas, and Tubby Smith. I mean, that obviously was a huge win for his program. He's had some big ones this year.
Yeah, they're rolling along and put themselves, you know, from nowhere to the bubble, and in, with an opportunity to close out well this regular season and be a tournament team, which is not easy to do in Lubbock. It's been a great job he's done, and most impressive to me is when you hit that spot. You know, they were 11-1 team that woke up and was 13-9, and the season could just end up spiraling out of control. You got young guys, they start doubting themselves, and he's been able to rally the troops, winning four of their last five and getting this thing going and on the cusp of making an NCAA tournament. I mean, it just goes to show you that if you've got a leader like that, that the kids buy into,
that's right,
you could take a, you know, group really of a core of sophomores, a junior, senior, and to understand their role and to maximize it. And they've been getting a ton of, really a ton of balance and making a great run here. And it's a great story because you'd be hard pressed to find a finer human being in the sport than Tubby Smith.
Absolutely. He's been on the show several times, and it is such a great story. Lee Klein, the CEO of Five Star Basketball Camp, has been joining us tonight. Thank you so much, Lee. We appreciate you coming on, okay?
Always a pleasure.
Very special thank you to all of our amazing guests and our lineup over the past 2 hours. Matt Weiner of NBA TV, Lee Steinberg, super agent, Bobby Marks, the front office insider for The Vertical, Steve Habel, the senior editor with Horns Illustrated. Of course, we were just talking with Lee Klein, Andy Pondillo with our MLB news and notes, and Joe George, who kicked off our show tonight with his very own NBA news and notes and recapping all of the trades that went down this week. We'll see you next weekend.